Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And welcome our visitors. And we're just happy to be here this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We're asking God for you to, Father, come now, Lord, at the time when the word is to be brought forth. And may you anoint me with your spirit and power, dear God. Lord, may, Father, that it would move upon the hearts and ears of the people, dear God, and that, Lord God, that there would be a deep responding to the deep today. We ask, God, you knowing each and every individual, knowing their needs, we ask you guide us down the lanes and the byways and the highways, dear God, to speak to the people this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We want to continue with the message that we had started on last Sunday. Lean not to thine own understanding. So in Proverbs 3 and 5, we read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. You may be seated. And those verses are saying a lot. Not to lean to our own understanding of things. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Amen. And that sometimes the way we look at things, why we look at them in one way, perspective, because we're human. But God, he sees it all differently, because God can see the beginning, the end from the beginning. And we can't. A lot of times we get our eyes on the circumstances. And we look at the circumstances rather than what the promise is. And it says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. Everything that's going on in your life, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Whatever decisions you've got to make, whatever, you acknowledge him, he's going to direct your path. But the way to acknowledge him is you've got to do it by the word. You've got to come the word way. You've got to come according to the prescription of the word. Amen. He said that he would place his name in a place for us to worship. That's where he would have us worship. Well, it has to be according to the word, because he said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. So it's not good enough just to worship him in spirit. You got to worship him in truth. Now, today, there are many churches that are presenting their creeds and their dogmas and their rules and their regulations and their way of seeing things. And they're presenting this as a front to the people. And many people are falling for it. And which to fall for that is death. Because if it's not according to the word, then it's death. The only way that you can have life is it's got to be according to the word. People, look, there's no church that can cleanse your soul. There's no creed that can cleanse your soul. There's only one thing that can cleanse your soul, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's God's remedy, and he's backed it up. So what they're presenting is false. But the people are leaning to the understanding of some wise men. Wise people. And they're going to die by it. You realize when that you're looking at what's your eternal destination. You're looking at where you're going to go when this life is over. We're looking forward to a time of the rapture, according to the scriptures, to when the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air.
But in order for that, you to be part of that, you've got to be aligned with the word. And there are a lot of people that are basing their eternal destination on what some man has said or what some church has said instead of what the Bible says. Some church says, well, it's okay to do these things and you're still a Christian. You can live like this in the world. There are churches that say, well, it's okay to drink occasional social drink and you're all right. But that's not the word. You've got to come the word way. Many times people will say, well, God spoke to me. And he told me this and that. Well, if what he told you or what you're saying that he told you or accusing him of telling you doesn't align with the word, then it wasn't him that told you that. Because he's not going to tell you anything that's against his word. He can't go back on his word. He's got to stand behind it. I've had people say, well, you know, God told me to send my tithing over here. If it ain't according to the word, then God didn't tell you. God doesn't lead you without a shepherd. It's got to come his provided way. God's got a provided way for everything. And it's got to come his provided way. And he said that he's given us apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. Well, then that's God's way. That's how God brings his word. Now, I'm not saying God can't speak something to your heart, but if it doesn't agree with the word, friends, look, if there's something I'm saying from this sacred pulpit that doesn't agree with the word, then something's wrong with me. It's got to agree with the word. So if you have a dream or a vision or a word from the Lord, it's got to agree with the word or it's wrong. The Spirit will always point you to the word. The Spirit's not going to point you to some church. The Spirit's not going to point you to some creed, some organization. What the board says of this certain organization. I'll tell you what the prophet said. He said the denominations were started by the devil. You don't believe it? Look how far they go off the word. Once they used to preach holiness. Now there is no holiness about them. If a person says they've got the Holy Ghost and accepts something contrary to the word, it shows they don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that the Spirit would lead and guide you into all truth. So it's not going to guide you into something that's false. It doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what emotions you felt. It's got to align with the word. If your experience doesn't align with the word, then you didn't have a Bible experience. You might have had a church experience. It's been brought to my attention here recently that there's some around the message that are starting to lean back toward emotionalism as a sign of having the Holy Ghost. That's not a sign. I'm not saying you won't get emotional. I'm not saying there isn't emotions in serving God. But your human emotions can lie to you. I've seen people get excited, jump up and shout amen and punch a hole through a light. And they can't even live for God now. I've seen people dance all over the church. And they dance their way right out the door. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying they're not proof of anything. I don't care how good you can quote the scriptures. That ain't proof of anything either. Well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says devils believe in God and said they fear and tremble. Well, I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. So do the devils. They know it by firsthand experience. So that don't do no good either. I know this message is right. So do the devils. Look, friends, Satan ain't after the ones he's already got. The ones he already has deceived, he's not trying to deceive them more. He's after the ones he don't have. And the Bible says it would be so close in the end time that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. I'm glad it's not possible. Amen. But that just shows how close and deceiving it'll be. Satan's not trying to deceive the denominations today. He's already got them deceived. He's not trying to deceive the Catholic Church today. He's already got them deceived. It's the truth, whether you like it or not. No matter how much experience you had, no matter how real it may seem, no matter how presented, no matter how much you might have said, well, it's helping me win souls to God. If it don't align with the word, it's wrong experience. There are people today that will lean to a certain church they've joined, irregardless of what the word has to say. Oh, and I ain't even talking about the denominations. I'm talking about people that claim to believe this message. Well, you know, I'm a member of Jeffersonville. Do you go there? No, I don't even live there. And they're going to believe irregardless of what the word says. The word said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. And if you want to know what that means, then you've got to go by the word today that's been presented by the prophet of the hour. And it don't mean y'all having your little gatherings at home. Well, we got a gathering. Do you have a pastor together with you? Why, no. Then it ain't according to the word. Hallelujah. They lean to their own understanding. That, you know what? They ignore what the word has to say about it. Well, now, we believe now that the perfect has come. God's done away with that which was in part. And what a lot of them believe what was in part was is the fivefold ministry. That was the part. Well, I'm sorry, but prophets were included in that fivefold ministry. So if one of them's just a part, then all of them was just a part. And there wasn't no man that's ever walked on the face of this earth that was perfect. Outside of Jesus Christ. Joseph come the closest, but even he wasn't perfect. David, a man after God's own heart, wasn't perfect. Brother Branham wasn't perfect. So he can't be that perfect that has come. But now the word has come. The perfection of the word. And that what we've seen in part, where they didn't even have the name right, they didn't have their baptism right, now we got it right. Ignore what the word says, Brother Branham says, as if it had never even been written. Turn me to Acts 5. I'm going to give you a moment. Acts 5:32. I just got one verse to read here, but I'm going to give you a moment to get there. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So who does God give the Holy Ghost to? To them that obey him. Well, you know, I believe this message. Are you obeying him? There's many people that claim to believe the end time message that don't obey God, that don't obey the word. They say they're obeying the prophet, but they can't even obey him. He says in works that I do bear witness to me, he says, the thing is, God's given those the Holy Ghost who obey him. Is that right? And if you've got the Holy Ghost, then you've obeyed God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. It's another scripture I'm going to wait for you to get there. It's chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now I want you to take notice of something. Look at that word straight and look at the way it's spelled. It's spelled S-T-R-I-A-I-T. S-T-R-A-I-T. Is that how you learned to spell straight in school? It's not spelled S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. That's the way you learn to spell it in school. But this is a correct spelling, because this spelling of the word straight refers to a waterway. It's a waterway. So how do you get in? Through a waterway. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So it's a waterway. That's how you get in. Paul, in the book of Acts, came down across some people that were believing, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to Paul, they said, we haven't heard so much where there be a Holy Ghost. He said, how were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul commanded him to be baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he baptized, and every one of them obeyed and got rebaptized. And then the Bible says Paul laid hands on them, and every one of them received the Holy Ghost. So it matters how you were baptized. Those people knew what it was to obey the word of the Lord. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they knew they'd get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they did. When you obey that commandment to be baptized, then you're sure to get the promise of God. If you're sincere in your heart, you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now, it's just like if a doctor gave you a prescription and you took that prescription down to some quack druggist and to have him fill it. He might fill it wrong. He might put something else in there that'd kill you. So the prophet said, don't take this prescription of being baptized down to some quack. I want to be baptized as somebody who knows what they're talking about. In other words, have they been baptized? And if they've been baptized, have they received the promise? And if they received the promise, then what the business they got baptizing you? False teachers bring false births. You must be born again, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Balaam, remember Balaam, when they went and they wanted Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam asked God. God said, no, don't you curse them. You can't curse what I've blessed. That's right. So Balaam went back and they said, yeah, but we was offering you money. Balaam said, hold on. Pre-adventure, we wait and see if God changes his mind. God don't change his mind. God ain't changed his mind about baptism either. And if he ain't changed his mind about baptism and the way it has to be done and the name it has to be done in, then he ain't changed his mind about giving you the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gives it to those who obey him. So how do you know you're going to get healed when you pray for? Because the word told me what to expect. It said, by his stripes I am healed. It said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the word. So I know what the word says. So then I've got confidence in what's going to happen when I go according to the word way. How do I know I'm going to get the Holy Ghost? Because I've got confidence. If I go according to the word way, it's already told me what the outcome is going to be. Paul said it's always going to be the flesh. Anytime that I would do good, evil is present. And he said, it's always going to be the flesh that's going to be the thing that you're fighting against. Well, I'm too tired. I'm unable. I'm not sufficient. I can't do it. Brother Bram said, somebody was talking to me about the Holy Ghost and said something or other, said, what made me feel that way just at the time I should have felt good? I said, the devil. He's seen you ready to receive it, and he said, I'll put a little damper on her and fan her a little bit, you know, and kind of cool down a little bit. But oh my, that's when you got to rise. Right. Claim your God-given rights. The devil tells you, now, here you are to be baptized. Here you are to do that, but you know what? Nothing's going to happen to you. How does the devil know anything? The devil devil don't know nothing about me. He knows about my flesh. But friends, he's getting introduced to the real me on the inside that's been changed by the word of God. He can have an effect on the flesh. You feel that all the time. Paul said we have to crucify this flesh. We've got to die to it. You go down the road and see a billboard, it can have an effect on your flesh. Satan can make you feel bad. Get your feelings hurt. That's all in your spirit. He can affect that. He can affect your emotions. He can affect your reasoning. He can affect all of your emotions and your conscience, your memory. But he can't touch that soul. Say, why? Because it's been sealed. Hallelujah. We've got to come complete surrender, obedience to his word. Now, God don't give you the Holy Ghost for you to say, well, now I got it. That's all there is to it. No, we're in a battle.
That's right.
Pardon me. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of and rulers of darkness in high places. It's a spiritual warfare. And the battleground that Satan's chosen is your mind. And he works on your mind to you know, try to discourage you. Well, I don't know why you're even bothering. You might as well just go back to the way you were. You're wasting your time. Devil, I ain't got two words for you.
That's right.
I ain't even got the time, giving you the time of day. One Sunday morning, I was preparing for service. And there was somebody that wasn't coming to church. And they weren't in the church that morning. And I called them on the phone and woke them up. Well, I was back in the office and I said, you've been sitting at home listening to the devil long enough. Won't you listen to the voice of God and get up and get cleaned up, get dressed and get to church? And they did. But they ain't here now, so I guess I need to call them again. You know, we're at the end, people. We're at the end of this. We're at the end of time. We're at the end of the world. All say preachers have been saying that for years. Well, let's just look at it. In the Bible, it says that 1,000 years of men's time is like one day in God's eyes. So if men have been saying this for a couple of hundred of years, it ain't really that long, is it? But I want to tell you, by looking at the signs of the time, and the Bible says that Israel is God's timepiece. And we look at what's going on, friends, and it lets you know, look, the Bible speaks there is coming to an end of time. And it says that in that time, there'd be many that would fall away. And that's happening. There's wars and rumors of wars. earthquakes in divers places. Here in the eastern part of the United States, they have tornado drills in school. Teach the children what to do when a tornado warning has come. Out on the West Coast, they have earthquake drills. What to do when an earthquake comes. And one of these days, there's coming a big one. And Los Angeles is honeycombed down under it. And we were told that long before man ever figured it out. Now they've made movies about it. I ain't never seen it, but I've heard of it. About Los Angeles tilting and going into the ocean. My dad used to say, he said, I get up every morning and I turn the radio on. And he said, I listen for the news to hear if Los Angeles has went down yet. Now he's went on by the way of the grave. He's going to be among the dead in Christ who arise first. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. If you repent and you're baptized, then you're obeying God's word. And according to the Bible, he's obligated to come down and give you the promise if you obey his word. But it ain't just being baptized. You got to obey all the word. That's just obeying part of it. You know, when Jesus, before he died, he told him, look, when I go, he said, I want you to go, and I want you, and he came back, and he appeared to him, and he said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry until you've been endued with power from on high. And so the disciples gathered themselves together, and they went, 120 of them went into an upper room. And you know, they were kind of hiding out. And they were up there gathered and they're waiting for something that they don't even have a clue of what it is exactly that they're waiting on.
That's right.
Jesus just told them to wait until you're endued with power from on high. They didn't know what this power was. They didn't know what this power was going to do. They didn't know how this power was going to act. After they were up there a while, you imagine maybe one of them said, well, I felt a little something. You think that was it? Well, I didn't feel anything. I don't think it'd just be you. He said all of us to go up here. Well, how long are we supposed to stay up here? Well, he didn't give us a time. He didn't give us an amount of days or amount of hours. He said until. So it wasn't just good enough for them to go into the upper room and obey Jesus telling them to go there, but they also had to remain there until. That was also part of obeying the word, to remain until they were endued with power from on high. And I'll tell you something, friends. When the power of God fell on them, nobody had, they had to ask them, are you sure you got it? They knew they had it. And it wasn't because of some emotional experience. It wasn't because of speaking in tongues. It was because they had obeyed the word, and the word came and manifest what it said it would do. The very time you obey God's word completely, fully, God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what do I got to do besides being baptized? Believe. Believe. Believe you're going to get it. That's part of the word too. He says, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Now, if you have any questions, or if there's anything in your life that's condemning you, then you best make that right. Because God's not going to give it to you over top of that. Make it right. Say, well, maybe I need some time. No. You know, do you know that you can tell God you're going to do something and God reckons it as far as done? Well, God, I did such and such to some person and they're not even here. Tell God you're going to go make that right. See, God's asking you to believe him. God's going to believe you. But now keep your word. Hallelujah. You know, any of y'all ever been to a horse show or something or anything? I was in Costa Rica some years ago. And they had an apartment at the church where I was there preaching. They had an apartment there, and we were staying at the apartment. And if you've never been to one of these countries, you wouldn't know how it is, but, you know, they've got to have security because it's kind of lawless in some of the areas. Not that they don't have law, but people are more apt to steal than everything else. And I'm not saying this, putting off on anybody. I'm telling you what I know for a fact. And where we stand at this church, they had a big wall up around this church. And they had, looked like barbed wire wrapped up around the top of the thing. And a lot of times they'll even break glass and put it across the top of their walls. Not just the churches, everybody. Everywhere. They got to get into their place, they usually got a gate with iron bars to get into the wall that surrounds their homes in these cities. Like the city I was in was San Jose. Anyway, the church was built up on a hillside. And so we could look down from the balcony where we were at. We could look down over that wall, and we could look down across the way and look down across the road. And across the road, there was a man that trained horses. And he had pedigree horses. And these were real horses. And we used to stand up there every morning and watch him as he trained those horses. And he would train those horses to prance with all their fours, you know, if you ever seen them do it. And he would teach them to do that. He'd teach them to bow. He taught them to do all different kinds of things. He'd train them to do it. And they would do all this. And then he would ride them, and he would have them do a certain kind of prance and step and kind of go sideways as he was riding, you know, and their tail kind of arched up and their neck kind of arched up and everything. And he really put a lot of time in training these horses. And we watched him every morning. He was out there working with them. Have you ever seen anybody do a mule that way? You ever seen a mule, anybody be able to train a mule to prance around? He ain't going to do it. I'll tell you what a mule is. A mule will hold something against you, and if it's the last breath he takes, he'll kick you before he dies. There's a difference between pedigree horses and mules. A mule is a hybrid. It's a mix between a horse and a donkey. It can't even reproduce itself. It's a hybrid. It's like hybrid corn. You take hybrid corn, it could look so it could look so much better than a good ear of corn. But you try to plant that seed and see if it'll bring anything up, it won't do it. A mule can outwork a horse any day. You don't see somebody plowing a field with a pedigree horse. But why can they get a pedigree horse to do that? Because he's got a quality that he was born with. Something on the inside of him that makes him what he is. Just like that mule's got something on the inside of him that makes him what he is. And that's the way with the born again Christian. There is something on the inside of them that makes them what they are. That's the way it is with a seed of God. Even a seed of God that hasn't even been regenerated yet. That hadn't even been born again yet. There's something on the inside to be born again. That's the difference. There's a lot of earth people. They were born, look friends, as much the seed of God is being replenished on the earth, serpent seed's being replenished too. And it's growing at a greater weight, faster rate than what it is with the seed of God. Few are going to find the straight gate. But many are going to go in by the way of destruction. Now, you confess. Confess that you're healed. You come to be prayed for healing, then confess, by his stripes I'm healed.
That's right.
No matter what you feel like. If you come to be prayed for a certain disease and you walked away and say, well, I think I still got it. Just confess, by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me now. God, if somebody will believe, God will recognize that. I have had people come to be prayed for that had cancer. And God healed them because they believed if they'd come and have me pray for them, God would heal them. And God healed them. And they went out and lived like the devil and quit coming to church. If God would heal somebody like that, how about somebody who obeys all of his word? Say, what happened? They couldn't obey the word. But you confess. You come to pray for it. You confess. By his stripes I'm healed. He said they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Confess that. He said repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Confess that. Say, have you got it? Well, I'm going to get it. Because he promised it. Say, so when's it going to happen? According to God's time. Friends, you just take it one step at a time, one day at a time, obeying his word. As he reveals his word to you, you walk in it. Now, it don't take a long time for you to receive it. If there's any holdup, it's on our part. Not on God's part. But the moment that you fully obey his word, you are going to get the Holy Ghost because the promise says he gives it to them who obey him. I had somebody one time, was in a meeting with some individuals and this other pastor. And over a certain issue, the pastor had got upset, kind of angry at him over it. And they were telling me, said, well, he lost the Holy Ghost. I was floored. I wanted to stand up and say, do any of y'all believe the message? Do any of y'all believe the word? But see, they quoted something from the message. Well, he said, you know, it's like a dove, the Holy Spirit, it'll take its flight from you. I said, that's its presence. But what about where it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption? And the day of redemption, friend, is when you receive your body change. And you're sealed. You can't lose it. Once you got it, you can't lose it. I told somebody one time, I said, the Holy Ghost is a keeper. They said, yeah, as long as you'll keep it. I said, no, you're sealed until the day of redemption. You're not sealed to the next revival. You're not sealed into the next sin. You're not sealed into the next mistake. You're sealed into the day of redemption. As long as we're in this flesh, you're going to make mistakes. But don't look at your mistakes. God ain't looking at him. He's looking at your heart. Does he desire of your heart? And I'll tell you something, friends. If the desire of your heart is right, it'll manifest itself out in your life. It'll bring correction to your wrongs. It'll bring correction to your mistakes. But you got to be convinced. You know, in the Bible, there was a woman that had the blood issue. And she was convinced that if she could touch Jesus' garment, she'd be whole. And so as he was passing his way through, she pushed her way through the crowd as well. And as he come by, she reached out and touched his garment. Now it wasn't the tug of the material he felt. He said, virtue has gone from me. Who touched me? They said, well, you're in a big crowd. There's been many people touch you. Yeah, but there was one that caused virtue to go from me. Why? Because she was convinced. You've got to be convinced of what the word says. And friends, if you're convinced, then you believe it. And if you believe it, you're going to receive it. You're going to get what you believe. Hallelujah. If you're born of the Spirit, you'll obey the Bible's teachings regardless of what the church says, regardless of what somebody else tells you. Like I've often said, sinners will come up and try to get you riled or try to see if they can get you to make a mistake and then say, well, I thought you was a Christian. Like they've become an authority on what it's like to be a Christian. If they were authority on it, then they wouldn't be headed for hell. I can't believe people who have told me, yeah, I know I'm going to hell. I know I am. And you want to go there? That's an evil spirit on them. Just like it was on the man that was in the tombs and was cutting himself, and that no man could power over him. But one day Jesus came. Hallelujah. And you know what happened when Jesus came? Them evil spirits that was on that man drug that man up to Jesus. Not for him to get free. But they were afraid. They said, why have you come to torment us before our time? So they know their time's coming. Why have you come to torment us before our time? He said, who are you? He said, we're legion because we're many. That wasn't the name of that man That's what them devils called themselves. The Bible doesn't give the name of that man. We're legion because we're many. And they said, when you cast us out, let us go over into these swine. He said, go on. They went over into that swine, and every one of them ran off the cliff into the ocean. But that man was free. And the Bible said he was in his right mind. So that meant before he was in his wrong mind. So if you're in your wrong mind this morning, you can get in your right mind. All you got to do is believe. I'm going to tell you something, friends. People try to quit smoking. I'm going to tell you something. That's a devil. That's a devil. People say, science will tell you, it's a craving for nicotine in your body. But who is it there that's making you crave that nicotine? A demon. Well, I crave drink. Who is it making you do that? A demon. Get rid of them devils and you'll be all right. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to tell you, there's sitting a fellow back here that I know for a fact can tell you about getting delivered of devils. And there was many devils that came out that day. But he came up here in the front and wanted to be delivered. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. We had a fight with that main one, but he still came out. Now, he's had to grow and mature in the Lord just like anybody else, but he's free of the devils. His blood sugar, after he got delivered, his blood sugar started bottoming out. It's because he was used to drinking every day. Now he wasn't getting that drink no more. So his blood sugar started bottoming out. Praise the Lord. But the Bible said we could cast out devils in his name. And I believe it, don't you? Amen. You can't lean to your own understanding. This word that we've preached today didn't come from man's own understanding. It came from the Bible. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for your word, Lord. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful, dear God, for how, Lord, that you've come and ministered to us today and how you've spoke to us, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll, Lord, continue to be with each one today. I pray you'll be with us in our baptism today, dear God. I pray, Lord God, as we baptize Brother Anthony, Lord, that you, Lord, will baptize him with your spirit, Lord. Fill him with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray may there be a complete change, Lord, in his appetite spiritually. I pray, God, may there just be a complete change, which I know that's according to the word. If a person's born again, all that's going to change. I pray, dear God, that you'll baptize him with the spirit and the power today. We ask, Lord, for your guidance, Lord, in today, Lord. We ask for you to be with us this week, Lord. Watch over your people, Lord. Keep them, Lord, through the times and the tests and the trials that they face every day in this world. I pray, God, in this evil time that we're living in, keep your people, Lord. Lord, we don't pray you take them out of the world, as Jesus said, but you keep them from the evil thereof. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.